Well, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the longest marriage ever in America was between Herbert and Zelmyra Fisher from North Carolina. Herbert and Zelmyra grew up together as best friends. They got married on May 13th, 1924. Herbert was 18 and Zelmyra was 16. Together they withstood the Great Depression, World War II, and lived through the Civil Rights Movement. Herbert passed away on February 27th, 2011. Their marriage lasted 86 years. 86 years of marriage. I haven't even been married 86 months. Together, they left behind a legacy from their record-breaking marriage. 5 children, 10 grandchildren, 9 great-grandchildren, and 1 great-great-grandchild. Zelmyra once said in an interview, quote, "There is no secret to a long-lasting marriage, but to be honest and true, love each other with all your heart, and to rely on each other's faithfulness to one another." See, whoever officiated their wedding day didn't say, "Before you kiss your bride, Herbert, let me pull out this card." Oh, wow. This card says you should be married 86 years. Herbert, you may now kiss your bride. No, that's not how it works. The reason I bring this story up is because I want you to see it was faithfulness. That was the glue that kept this marriage together. It was faithfulness to each other in all seasons of life. The good, the bad, and everything in between. Faithfulness was the key. The definition of faithfulness is remaining loyal, having complete trust, and being reliable in all circumstances. The world's definition of faithfulness is staying true to yourself and true to your heart's desires. But we all know as believers, the worldly definition is feeding the flesh. And this only leads to death, and most importantly, separation from God. Faithfulness is such an important quality for us to develop as believers. All relationships are built on trust. When you grow in faithfulness, people will learn and know that they can depend on you. And you will enjoy stronger, healthier relationships with the people around you in your life. Another reason faithfulness is so important is because God rewards faithfulness. God wants people who will be faithful to Him and to His kingdom so that we may bring great glory and honor to Him. There are 3 points I would like to press upon you all tonight. Number 1, God is faithful. And number 2, Jesus is faithful. And number 3, how we develop in faithfulness. So let's get started. Number 1, God is faithful. Our God is a faithful God. He is absolutely trustworthy and dependable and loyal in all circumstances. He is faithful to His creation. He is faithful to His people. He was faithful in sending Jesus. He is faithful to judge sin, and He is faithful to save sinners who put their trust in Him. How comforting it is to know that God is faithful and that you can always depend on Him. God is like water. It is always wet, never dry. There is no such thing as dry water, and you can always count on water being wet. Have you ever heard the saying, "You're only as good as your word"? Well, God's word has never failed. He keeps His covenant promises even when we do not keep our promises. Numbers 23:19 tells us, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind." Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? Absolutely not. See, God cannot make up some bizarre sales pitch to sell you on and not follow through with it. God is trustworthy and true. God has given us His word in the Bible, and His word revealed in scriptures is absolutely trustworthy and true. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise simple." There is another saying out there some of you may have even heard in this church. If God said it, I believe it. How true is this? Because there is no questioning God. And when he makes his promise to his people, there is no questioning it. It's not even up for debate. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they were permanently separated from God. But God desired a relationship with the man and the woman. So he sent his son to be our Savior and to die on the cross for our sins. You see, God didn't just send his son to die one day because he was acting up. No, God so loved the world that he sent his only son that whoever believes in him would not die but have eternal life. He sent his son to complete a task that no other man could do. Jesus lived a perfect life, free of sin, and Jesus came to die on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin. And his resurrection from the dead, showing his victory over death and sin, by paying the penalty for our sin, Jesus healed our damaged relationship with God and brought peace between man and God. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. This is God's faithfulness in keeping his covenant of love. Unlike any human relationships that may break down or change over time, God's commitment is everlasting. His faithfulness stretches across generations, offering hope not just to individuals, but to entire families and communities. When we think about God and faithfulness, we also want to think about Jesus and his life. And when we do, we see that Jesus, as God's son, also displayed rock-solid faithfulness in his life. This leads me into my second point. Jesus is faithful. Jesus certainly displayed the fruit of faithfulness in his life. He was faithful to finish the work the Father gave him to do. He was faithful as a son over all God's house. He was the faithful witness who was faithful to the truth, even unto death. When you look at faithfulness in God, you can see that faithfulness is the very root of God's character and fully displayed in the life of Jesus as God's son. Throughout his ministry, Jesus faced numerous challenges, including opposition from religious leaders, misunderstanding from his disciples, and the burden of human sin. Despite these obstacles, he remained steadfast. In Luke 9:51, it is noted, as the time approached for him to be taken up, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. This determination highlights Jesus' faithfulness in pursuing the path that would ultimately lead to his sacrificial death on the cross. The ultimate demonstration of Jesus' faithfulness is seen in his willingness to endure suffering and death on the cross. The night before Jesus died, Jesus prayed in Luke 22:24, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. This prayer reveals his submission to the Father's will, even in the face of immense personal anguish. Jesus' faithfulness is further exemplified in his endurance of the crucifixion. Jesus' crucifixion was the most evil act of death in mankind. The author of the book Hebrews encourages believers to look to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. His faithfulness in suffering was not only a fulfillment of prophecy, but also a testament to his love and commitment to redeeming humanity and setting sinners free. Jesus is the light to this world. Jesus' faithfulness extends beyond his earthly ministry, to his promises, to his followers. He assured his disciples of his continual presence, saying in Matthew 28:20, And I surely am with you always to the very end of age. This promise of his abiding presence provides comfort and assurance to believers throughout the ages. Jesus promised to prepare a place for his followers. John 14, 2 through 3, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will welcome you into my presence so that you also may be where I am." His faithfulness in fulfilling these promises is a source of hope for us as believers and affirming the confirmation of eternal life with him. In Revelation 2:10, Jesus exhorts the church in Samaria, "Be faithful even unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." This call to faithfulness, even in the face of persecution, reflects the enduring nature of Jesus' own faithfulness and the reward that awaits those who follow his example. There is no better example than Jesus. He was brought to earth to fulfill a task that no man could even come close to completing. Jesus was perfect, not even a stain on him. He was faced with the same temptations we have, but he remained sin-free his entire life. Jesus came to defeat death, and he did. On the third day, Jesus rose from the grave and officially defeated death. Moreover, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit as a helper and comforter, ensuring his presence with his followers, even after his ascension into heaven. In John 14, 16 through 17, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." This promise reflects his faithfulness in providing guidance and support and to believers and his church. This leads me to my third and final point. How do we develop in faithfulness? If you're here tonight as a non-believer, the truth is you are faithless. You need Jesus to stand in your faithful place. I know you have faith and you use faith every day, but the faith that you are using does not align with God. It aligns with the world. You want to be the ruler of your world, but this is not your world. This world and everything in it belongs to God. God created this world and everything in it, including you. God has authority over you. You might not think this now, but you will see this on Judgment Day. The life you are living is worthy of hell, and you will not receive the precious gift of eternal life unless you repent of your sins and place your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God sent his only Son to die for your sins. God's offer of salvation will not stand for forever, so do it now while you still have time. Your life is short, like a mist that's here for a little while, then vanishes. Your time is shorter than you think. Through Jesus Christ, you can be made right with God and receive the Holy Spirit to empower you and grow in your faithfulness towards God and towards others around you. We have a God who is faithful, and we have Jesus who is the perfect example of faithfulness. Faithfulness is a gift from God, and to receive this gift, we must ask the Father in prayer for faithfulness. Pray to him to send the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to help us grow in faithfulness. When we have the Holy Spirit, faithfulness is accessible in part of our lives. We can go to him in our weaknesses and ask him to help us grow by being more faith-filled. When we believe in God and trust him, we can go out and be steadfast, knowing who he is and who we are in him. Maybe you're going through a tough time and faith is at an all-time low. Remember that even if your faith has been weak in the past, or maybe you have even denied Jesus, the Spirit of the living and victorious Savior lives in you. We can live victorious lives full of faithfulness through the help of his Spirit, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. James 1, 2 through 4. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We will all be tested during our time on earth. We will all experience trials of various kinds, but we must remember we serve an almighty triune God that we can pray to for help. And then finally, as with any fruit of the Spirit, ask God for it. Ask God to develop the fruit of faithfulness in your life, and He will. I'd like to suggest 5 different ways that we can grow in faithfulness. Number 1, remember God's faithfulness to you. We must never forget what the Lord did for us. Even when we rebelled against Him, He still continued to seek after us. Number 2, be a good steward of God's gifts to you. All things are from God. The talents He gives us, the jobs He gives us, the life He gives us. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, as it says in Romans 12:4-6. Number 3, examine your commitments in the light of God's Word. When we stare into God's Word, we begin to see the truth about our actions, thoughts, and attitudes in our lives. The key is not just to hear the words, but allow the truth to sink in. Do your commitments reflect faithfulness to God or something else? Number 4, be faithful in the small things. If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. Strive to be faithful in seemingly insignificant matters, which will then build your faithfulness up. Number 5, ask God to develop the fruit of faithfulness in your life through prayer and in everything you do. To all you believers who are here tonight and have your faith in Christ, let me leave you all with this. Won't these be the most precious words you will ever hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for sending your son. Thank you that we can have a relationship with you through him. May you fill all our hearts with faithfulness so that we may show that we are faithful servants to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.